Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom, what's going on, man? We back for another one. You already know. It is On the Way with your whole side, man. I hope you're having a blessed Sabbath, a blessed evening. It's going down each and every week on the Poetic Energy Network station. Man, you already know we got something great, something in store today, man. We're back after the hiatus, and we don't even want to waste no time. We just want to get straight into it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the Sabbath, for the chance to rest. We pray that we would decrease that set-apart spirit would increase and teach us what, you know, and let us know what the spiritual weather is and what's going on in the world. And how we can prepare ourselves. In Yahushua, the Messiah's name, we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we're back for another one. You already know. We were, not last week, but the week before, you know, we were going over some issues. And you already know, Pentecost, the count of 50 is coming up this evening. The first day of the week, it's already been since the Pesach, you know, it's already been that weekend after the Pesach, it's already been, you know, 50 days. And we're coming on 49 and we'll be 50 this evening. So that's exciting. You know, I hope you're going to have, hopefully Yahuwah is just going to pour out some, you know, his spirit, you know, we were talking about last time. So we just want to dive into it, man. We got a lot to cover, man. It's going down, you know. Since we talked a little bit about the Obama situation, but that's still going on. We have, as far as the Middle East situation, what we have over there, they just released an article. A U.S. think tank organization. Who regulates and is connected with the United Nations, they released an article saying that Iran has stepped up its input of uranium in the last 5 years, and they're saying that they have enough uranium to produce possibly 5 nuclear weapons, the U.S. Security Institute said. You know, of course, Iran has denied, you know, these charges. They had talks in Baghdad, which did not settle anything, and so now they're saying that they're rescheduling talks for in Moscow next month. You know, so that's going down. But they're saying that they have enough uranium. They said the uranium that they have would still have to be enriched to get to weapons grade. But if they do it, you know that. They would have enough, you know, basically the material that need to, you know, produce nuclear weapons. And because we talked about before how Iran has now moved their nuclear facilities underground in attempt to discourage people from, you know, bombing them, like, you know, Israel was talking about bombing them and stuff like that. You have... So that's still going down, but we talked about because we like to give the news and then we give the facts behind the news. And we talked about before that the Russian general said that they had already obtained nuclear weapons before, and so we talked about that. And there was a couple other people that was quoted. I mean, not just, you know, Joe Schmoes. We're talking about, you know, general officials and security officers of different countries already quoted and saying that they have. The ability, not only the ability, but already have, you know, obtained these type of things, so we'll just have to wait and see how this pans out. But we already know that, you know, all these nations are working in league with each other. But, you know, another thing that's going on in the Middle East, you got the Syrian violence. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, but you have a lot of things going on in Syria. The Syria forces are releasing attacks. I think they almost killed one of the articles you said this morning that they're releasing attacks on, you know, children. You know, they said almost 90, you know, innocent, you know, children, and they released a attack on one of the villages, Halua, in Homs province. The Syria forces have released, and they're just, you know, it's just sad, you know, that all this violence is taking place over there, and children are being killed, and villages are being attacked. So we're going to keep you up to date with that, because nobody's really, you know, nobody's stepping in and doing anything. But you got that going on over there. Of course, you still have the Obama situation. We're going to have more on that possibly, yeah, well, next week, about that whole situation with the, you know, the gay rights marriage. And we're going to really break that down because we're – I don't even want to say weird, because that gives you association with America, but America is becoming what you know Sodom and Gomorrah has had came before, you know, the, and that all goes back to the agenda that was put forth, number one, by the American forefathers. And man, woo! I'm excited, man, about this. Man, if you got a pen, you got a paper, man, get it out, man, because we're going to talk about something just right now. This is leading to, I mean, it's perfect. This is leading into the big topic, man, because we have Pentecost coming up, you know, this evening, and we're really going to talk about the two foundations, because there's two foundations in which, you know, people have been, well, you have the true foundation and you have the false foundation. Now we're gonna get into the false foundation first, but a lot of people that are being born like in this time, I mean, we, you know, let's talk real. You know, we grow up in schools, and they give us, you know, history books. You go up to kindergarten, you give history books, and they say A, B, C. You know, this is how it has always been. This is how, you know, the United States was fashioned. You know, it was fashioned. You know, no, because if you gullible enough to believe, you will actually believe that America was constituted and was built upon good premises, in which was under, you know, a lot of people erroneously say, you know, no God, but we're talking about Yah, you know what I'm saying? And even when we get down to that, you know, we just have to learn that, hey, you know, the Father wants to be called, you know, Even getting from there, you know, he was called Elohim, Elohim. And then we get to the word, you know, Gad, G-O-D, which comes from Gad, G-A-D, which, when we look at Yeshayahu 66, we're not going to get too much in this, but when we go get into Yeshayahu 66, Yeshayahu 66? Might not be 66. It could be. Okay. Yeshayahu 65, verse 11. This is what Yahuwah said. He says, But those of you who forsake Yahuwah, and I know if you have King James Version, they might say the Lord, but that they replace that name, Yahuwah, who forsakes Yahuwah, who forget my set apart mountain, who prepare a table for Gad, or that pronunciation is G-O-D too, like that pronunciation, G-O-D, which, who fill a drink offering for many. Now, this makes sense, because we're going to really break this down, man. So when you look at the word Gad, pronounce the modern-day Gad, you know, like G-O-D, okay, that, you can look that up in the dictionary, that was the Babylonian deity of fortune, wealth, fortune, good luck, all those things. That was the Babylonian, because the original name or title that was used for the Father, Yahuwah, was Elohim, you know, or Elohim, which means mighty one. You know, that was the Hebrew term used. And then, you know, when the King James came in, they started, they replaced, basically, this was the goal. Hashatan, the adversary, wanted people to call upon false deities, you know, whether not even knowing. So how you can do that is you can replace words and people believe that, hey, they're calling, even in ignorance, you know, they would call upon something that they believed was the Father. And so, I mean, this is very important because one of the first, we're going to talk about the true foundation in a minute, but one of the first commandments is, he says, I am Yahuwah, your Elohim, you shall have no other mighty ones against my face. So what Hashatan did, the plan that he put in order to try to do, to get people to break that first commandment, is to get people to call on foreign mighty ones, you know, different mighty ones, the Egyptian mighty ones, the Babylonian mighty ones, all these other, you know, so-called gods that existed in Babylonian times, try to get people to call on them unknowingly, even in ignorance, by changing names and getting people to call upon. So now people call upon these names. They don't even know, hey, what does this name mean? Who am I calling upon? Because when you call upon a name, you invoke a spirit. See, and if you're invoking a spirit that is not a Yahuwah, you know you can continue to keep yourself in bondage. That's why even in Hosea, that's why if we turn to Hosea, that he says that he will remove the names of the Baals out of our lips, because we've been programmed and conditioned to call upon the names of the Baals. He wants to remove those names out of our mouth. So names like, you know, God, we got to stop using that, because, you know, it's Elohim, because that was the original term that was given to the prophet that was written. You know, these other terms, you know, because it's almost disrespectful. That's like, you know, if somebody would come up to you and say, hey, and excuse my friend, I'm not going to say the word, but somebody called up to you and say, you know, B-I-C-T-H, and they refer that to that as your name, you will feel disrespected, you know, and that's how the Father feels disrespected, because he says all day long they blaspheme his name. You know what I'm saying? So we have done this in ignorance. But, man, are we going to talk about the false foundation and the true foundation? Hey, you listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sod, and we're still on the way. Man, this is, man, get your pens out. Okay, now we're going to get into, I pulled an article from the Forbes, from the Forbes.com. And, you know, we've been talking about, the 2012 Olympics and London Olympics. We've been talking about this, and I know it's getting redundant, but, I mean, the rabbit hole goes deeper into the matrix. I'm telling you, it goes deeper into the matrix, man. This absolutely blew me away, this information we're about to read right here. Okay, this is the Forbes.com. This is not no random. This is the Forbes.com. Now, we talked about it. The two mascots of the London Olympics are called Winlock and Mandeville. Okay? I don't know if you ever looked them up on YouTube or looked the picture up. They are kind of one-eyed aliens, one-eyed alien mascots. Now this goes deep, man. I really want you to see this, man. This really goes deep. Now, I pulled this article from the Forbes.com. Both of these single-eyed mascots, actually, this is from the Forbes.com now, so you can look it up. So you don't believe what I'm saying, look it up. They are equipped with camera lenses, which will record everything that goes on at the Olympics. Now, this is not coincidence, okay? Now, repeat what I just said. Rewind what I just said, okay? They are one-eyed aliens who have, these mascots have lenses in the actual mascot have lenses in them that which will record everything that goes on at the Olympics. Now, we're going to get back to that. That article is from the Forbes.com, and it's going to make sense to you. Also put an article from the Guardian newspaper said that London will be the biggest mobilization of military, which has been seen in the U.K. since World War II. They will have more troops, which has ever been seen since World War II. I mean, they will have unmasked drones, unmanned drones, which will hover over the stadium, biometric cards, face recognition technology, disease tracking system. So this is all going down. But this is what I'm really going to get to. We're going to go back to that Forbes article. These two mascots, now that's why I want to say this is not a coincidence. These two mascots have cameras equipped in them which record everything. They're one-eyed aliens. You can go look at this. You can go look this up within, you know, 0.005 seconds and look up Manilok or Winilok, N-E-W-L-O-C-K, and Manaville. These two one-eyed aliens, which they will record everything that goes on. Now, this is where it starts to get, you start to understand the depths of the rabbit hole. Okay, we know for a fact that Yahuwah is omniscient. The Father, Yahuwah, and His Son, Yahusha, they're omniscient. Omniscient, if you look that up, it means all-knowing, all-seeing. They know everything. They know our hearts. They know Yahuwah knows the future. I mean, He knows the past. I mean, He knows everything. He knows everything everybody is doing on this earth, every thought they are thinking, every thought they will think. I mean, it is encompassing to try to think and try to grasp the knowledge and the omniscience of Yahuwah and how He knows everything. Now, this is where it starts. Man, we're gonna take you back in time, man. Okay, now we talked about before that if you go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, because right now we're talking about the false foundation. There are two foundations which we're talking about. And we're talking about the first foundation, which is the false foundation, in which not only was America built on, is what modern-day people are taught to build their foundation upon. Okay? And Isaiah 14, or Yeshayahu 14, this is what it says. 14, verse 12. It says, how you have fallen from the heavens, O Hallel. Now that word Hallel is being translated, it means the shining one, and in the Latin Vulgate, they translate it as Lucifer, okay, son of the morning. You have been cut down to the ground, you who lay low the nations. For you have said in your heart, let me go up to the heavens, let me raise my throne above the stars of El, and let me sit in the mount of the appointed on the sides of the north, and let me go above the heights of the clouds. Let me be like the Most High. Okay, so this is what this dialogue is saying right here. It's very simple. It says, so when he says Hallel, being an adversary, Lucifer, Hashatan, whatever you want to call him, the dragon, how he had fallen, because remember, Yahushua in the New Testament, or the Brit HaShah, said how he had seen Hashatan fall from the heavens like lightning. So, right here you have dialogue, and he's saying, the adversary is saying that how he wanted to set up his throne above, because look, he said, let me raise my throne above the stars of hell. Okay, first of all, there's only one throne, you know, that I know of. You know what I'm saying? Yahuwah and Yahusha, the Father and the Lamb. You know what I'm saying? That's the only throne. So he's saying let him raise. Because remember, we talked about this is prior knowledge at the beginning. We talked about if you had got a chance, you got to go back and check out. You know, when we talked about the first age of the first age of the earth, you know what I'm saying, the first age in which Hashatan had rebelled and drew away the third of the messengers with him. You know what I'm saying? So there's a, you have the good government and quote unquote the bad government, in which to them, you know, he has his government, which he's, you know, supposedly the prince or king of the dark side government. Okay. But he's saying let him, he's gonna try to raise his throne past Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? He said he wanna raise his throne past Yahuwah and the stars of El. You know what I'm saying? And that word stars can also mean like the, you know, and like the messengers and different things like that. So he wanted to raise his throne upon us and sit upon the appointed on the sides of the north. And he wanted to be like Yahuwah. He wanted to be Yahuwah, you know what I'm saying? So this is the plot. This is what we're talking about. Let's go back. Let's rewind back. We're talking about the article from the Forbes. Because we like to relate real stuff to the scriptures. Okay, these two mascots in which the London Olympics had released, okay, they're one-eyed aliens who record everything. Now, we just said Yahuwah is omniscient. He can see everything. He knows everything that's going on. Now, the whole theology behind the one-eyed mascots and one-eyed machines or people or pictures or different things, it goes back to an Egyptian deity, which was Horus. And Horus had the idea of the one eye. And this was, in ancient theology, it was believed, or theology or mysticism or whatever they want to call it, that it was believed that Horus, which was an ancient deity, could see and was omniscient. But this is not Yahuwah. This is some other deity in which we know in the first commandments, he said, you shall have no other mighty ones against my face. That's what Yahuwah said. So this ancient deity in which the Egyptians used to worship, which was Horus, the sun mighty one, supposedly was omniscient. So these mascots with the one eye, that whole idea comes from the eye of Horus, and which we're going to talk about in a minute. We're going to break down even more that they believe that. So you got to think about it, that these people actually believe that Yeshayahu 14, verse 12, that Hillel, the shining one, or Lucifer, had actually become like Yahuwah, being omniscient and being able to see everything. So it makes sense with what they're doing with the recording thing, with the one eye, okay, because technology right now is getting to the point where they're doing surveillance. You have cameras on every corner. We talked about last week, the touchless system, where they get into the cell phones, so they get into the tracking, so they get into eventually the RFID RFID technology, where they can track every product, and sooner or later they're going to be able to track, you know, humans that, you know, accept the mark of the beast. And all this technology is going to be given into the hands of the anti-Messiah, in which he cannot actually see everything and be omniscient, but through the device of science and technology, it will give the appearance that he will know where everybody's going, that, you know, just like, you know, through mediums like Facebook and different things where they can, you know, find out different people's personalities and do all this database thing, just like Google's doing. And, I mean, there's so many things that they're using all this technology and gathering into one database, like IBM, in which we talked about, in which it will give the appearance that what they call Big Brother is omniscient, knowing where everybody is, knowing what everybody's doing. Because Hashatan is a copycat. You see this verse right here. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 14. He's a copycat. He's a copycat. He wants to go up and be like Yahuwah. He wants to raise his throne above Yahuwah. He wants to do everything just like Yahuwah, because he basically he's jealous. It's just like envy, jealousy. That's how people, you've seen somebody might be, you know, doing something, and somebody, you know, gets envy or that evil eye. That's what it's called. We're gonna break it down. The evil eye, and then they want to be like that person. So they'll do anything to try to destroy what they're doing. That's the thing. That goes all the way back to the garden with Adam and Hawa. Well, we're really going to break it down, man. We're going to get into it. Now, this is what I'm saying. This is the times we're living upon, man, it's really freaky to think about, man, because you're talking about this summer, this thing is being, I mean, this is going to be publicized. This is going to be the biggest publicized event. And they're coming out with this symbology that people don't even know what's going on. These one-eyed aliens. We're gonna break it even down even further. Okay. Now, I don't know if you know about 1776. 1776, a plan was put forth. Two things happened in 1776. Okay. 1776, we're going to go back all the way in time, then we're going to come back and forward in time. 1776, the independence of America was signed. The Declaration of Independence of America was signed. It was also the same year that a secret society, which came from the Freemasons, the Scottish Rite, came and they started what was the Illuminati, which was a plan to put forth for the path of America. Okay? Now, this man, this gets deep, man. Okay? Now, I just read a quote. I just told you about a quote about the Eye of Horus being was supposedly to be the omniscience of Horus, the Sun Mighty One, which was a foreign deity. Just like that mascot, just like when you look at, even when you look on the back of your dollar bill, you will see a pyramid with the one eye on there, okay? This is called Mel-Oha, which means evil eye. This is regarded by all the symbol of Lucifer. Okay, this is quoted by William J. Smuts. Now, this is the same. We're still in Yeshayahu 14, verse 12. Okay, this is the symbol of this person they're talking about in this scripture, which the Ruach declared upon this person who felt like, because it's the symbol. You see how it is? It's a symbol of copycat. You know, Yahuwah is truly omniscient. He knows the hearts of men. Yahuwah knows the hearts of men. And see how Satan wants to mimic that, so he uses technology and science and recording and all these different, you know, things. That's why the ending of the Mark of the Beast, when people are required to have the Mark of the Beast, in which they cannot buy or sell except they have the mark, it is a way to get people, for Hasatan is to get people to pay allegiance to him. So that's what has happened through even the scriptures, through even them changing the scriptures and changing the names, is getting people to pay allegiance to him. Okay? So we're going to go back even further. The Egyptian, it says in Egyptian mythology, Horus is, Hasatan. Okay? Now, this is where it gets deep, man. 1776, you had Thomas Jefferson, you had Benjamin Franklin, then you ended up having FDR, okay? Now I want to read a quote from John Tide. I don't know if you know John Tide, but John Tide was a guy who used to work with, I believe it was RCA Records, who talks about the things that RCA Records do, you know, going into rooms, calling upon foreign mighty ones, you know, for people to be possessed when they listen to these rock and roll music, these rap songs, and to be possessed. But he exposes them, okay? And he talks about what happened. He was on one of the highest councils on the evil side. He exposed them. He said, look, the seal of the pyramid was created by the Rothschild family and brought to North America by Benjamin Franklin and Alexander Hamilton. before 1776, they were part of a secret organization, to install Lucifer's reign on the whole world. Okay? So we're taught in school. We're taught in school that, hey, 1776, the Declaration of Independence is signed, and they have the vision of the scriptures. They have the vision. They have the vision, you know, to install freedom and independence. You know, to you know that, and that's what's coming up. You have July 4th and all these things, independence, and all these things that people celebrate, in which they say, hey, you know, America was founded on those principles, you know, for freedom, for freedom and for people to, you know, pursue their dreams and all these things. But what you have to realize is the founding, the so-called, I'm going to say the so-called because there's two foundations of founding fathers, you know. But these founding fathers, they had the idea of Yeshayahu 14:12 in their mind. Because guess what? Benjamin Franklin and Alexander Hamilton were Freemasons. And you know what Freemasons believe? They believe in a person called the Great Architect of the Universe. Okay? This Great Architect of the Universe is to them is Yeshayahu, Isaiah 14:12, Hallel or Lucifer. That is who they call the Grand Architect, who they believe is like the Most High, Yahuwah. Okay? So they had this envision when they signed the Declaration of Independence, because they were already part of their secret organization. And they came, where they came? They came from Europe, over there by London. They came, the Scottish Rite. They came from over there to America, established this in 1776, signing the Declaration of Independence. So a lot of people believe that's where we grew up in school learning. Hey, we America was founded upon independence, you know. But they had a vision. This is their vision. They had a vision of installing the reign of Hashatan, the adversary, the dragon, on earth. That was their whole M.O. Not what we learned in history books to establish independence. Nah, it wasn't like that. That's what their whole goal. So, I mean, it changes your whole worldview on what America says, hey, this is the vision, this was the foundation. So we want to get back to it. So we still keep London in your mind. Keep London mascots in your mind. Keep that in the back of your mind about what they're doing, about how it's going to be publicized this summer. Okay. Now, 33-degree Mason and Black Nobility President Franklin D. Roosevelt had the symbol printed on the dollar, which was the I of Horus in 1933, which was the symbol of secret societies in Europe, London, long before the U.S. was even a nation. Okay? Now, look, this is where it gets deep, because we remember Yahuwah. We remember what Yahuwah did in Egypt, Mizraim. You remember that Moshe, Moshe, through the hands of Moshe and Aaron at Haran, that, you know, they had 10 plagues. Each of these plagues was Yahuwah bringing judgment against these four mighty ones that were in the land, you know, from the frogs to the blood to the death of the firstborn. Each one was basically Yahuwah showing that, hey, these mighty ones can't even compete with me. You know, these things that y'all worship, they can't even compete with me. So all these mighty ones were judged, and the children of Yisrael were taken out of the land with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, you know. And so all these mighty ones were judged. But we remember, you know, that we know the story, because we're talking about, you know, Pentecost is coming up, and we're remembering those times, what was going on. Okay, So they came out of Mizraim, and then you had them, you know, perishing in the wilderness. You had them, you had a lot of things going on, and eventually, you know, them falling away, and you remember Yahushua, or what people call Joshua and Caleb, eventually getting into, it was the only generation to, you know, to get into the promised land. And you had subsequently after that, you had the kingdoms, you had the kingdoms, we're talking about David time, you had the kingdoms split, then we had the coming of Yahushua, and then we continue to have the falling away of Yisrael, into which the curses were put upon us. Now, we're just doing a quick synopsis. So when we read Deuteronomy 28, and it says, 28 verse 68, and it says, Yahuwah shall bring you back to Mizraim or Egypt in ships, by the way which I said to you, you shall never see it again, and there you shall be sold to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one to buy. Okay, so this is where it gets important, man, is when you look at, let's flip sides. Pause on that thought right there. Okay, I know I'm going back and forth, but pause on this thought, that when the so-called founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, FDR, Alexander Hamilton, Benjamin Franklin, and mostly Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, they were already a secret society, you know, the Scottish Rite, Freemasons. They had the symbology knowledge of the symbols of Egypt, which was the Eye of Horus, which evolved into the symbol that you have on the back of the dollar bill. Okay? This is all the way from Egypt, all the way from the four mighty ones that Yahuwah judged already, destroyed already, and they still are trying to find their way back unto this. So now when the so-called founding fathers came over here, and they put this plan forth, this organization, they put this plan forth to establish the reign of the adversary on the earth, and they brought the symbols of Egypt with them, okay? It makes sense in Deuteronomy 28, verse 68, when Yahuwah says that you will be brought back to the way of Mizraim, because they brought the symbols of Egypt. They brought the symbols of bondage. The Declaration of Independence, the Illuminati or the New World Order, the Illuminati, they often use words opposite of what they're trying to establish. So it was not actually a Declaration of Independence. Okay. Well, what I want to show you is it when they established this, it was a declaration of bondage, because the end result of what the so-called forefathers had in store for the Americans is not what you learn in school books. You know, it's not what you learn in school books. They wanted, you know, these people wanted to control every movement, every thought. And Revelation 13:18 shows you that they want to get to the point where they control people, to where you, if you don't pledge allegiance to Yeshayahu 14, verse 12, in which it said Hillel or Lucifer was the mighty one of the earth, they want you to break the first commandment, which Yahuwah says, you shall have no other mighty ones against my face. And they want to get to the point where no one can even buy or sell. If you can't buy or sell, that means you can't own a business, or you can't buy from a business, except you take the mark of the beast and pledge allegiance to the adversary. So that was their vision. Their vision when they came here was Revelation 13:18. I'm gonna tell you why. Because the so-called founding fathers like FDR, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, they came from Europe, and they had close ties with the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds are quoted in saying that they want to get to the point where all money and all things are kept upon, you know, these mark of the beast technology chips in which no one can buy or sell. They have been quoted in saying this. They have been quoted in saying that the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, they have been quoted in saying that their vision is Revelation 13:18. And so they were in close leagues because they were the Masons too. They were in close leagues with the so-called founding fathers of America. And that was their truth. That is the bubble buster right there, is when you read these history books, and this is where we're growing up. You have your kids going to school and they're learning about, you know, Declaration of Independence, how America was founded on so-called, you know, G-O-D and, you know, GAD, in which we just read about in Yeshayahu 65. You know, those will prepare a table for GAD. He will, you know, blind out from the stars. And so this is what their vision was. Their vision was Revelation 13:18. All the way back then. This is not nothing new. This is not, you know, the whole thing about, you know, New Order. And we're gonna break some even more down. So Franklin D. Roosevelt had that symbol printed on the dollar, 1933. Now this is interesting too. Now, because some interesting events happened in order. 1913, you had the Federal Reserve was created by private bankers, which were the Rothschilds. Rothschilds and Rockefellers, private bankers. We talked about a while ago why they tried to kill Abraham Lincoln. Because Abraham Lincoln wanted to go outside. He wanted to print American money for American people. And the Federal Reserve, the Rothschilds, were not having that because they wanted to have control of the power. They knew that if they can control money, that they can ultimately try to control people. So that's the whole gist of the Rothschilds. And any president that got out of order with that, they eliminated. You look at JFK. With JFK, we talked about how he signed one of the executive orders to try to get America back to the gold standard, to two different things, and try to get money printed for American people out of the private hands, and out of private agendas, that they eliminated him. And on the plane, on US One, Air Force One, they reversed the day of his death, the day he was assassinated, they reversed his executive order. So that's how serious that it is. Now, Franklin D. Roosevelt signed, I'm going to find it for you. He signed Executive Order 610, I can't remember the last number, but he signed an executive order basically taking America off the gold standard until it was backed by Federal Reserve notes. Okay? So these Federal Reserve notes were introduced in the agenda of the Rothschilds. Okay, so he took them off. So you had that happen, and that was, you know, the early 1900s was the time of the Great Depression. So you had the Federal Reserve created in 1913. Then you had the League of Nations and the CFR, you know, created around 1920, and then you had 1929. You had the stock market crash. Okay, so and then President Roosevelt comes into power around 1933, okay? And what happens is you had Henry Wallace, who was a 32nd degree Mason. This is why. A 32nd degree Mason, he submitted a proposal to the president for a mint coin depicting both of the seals that are now currently on the dollar. So both of these seals, now we talk about seal one, we talk about the pyramid, Egyptian pyramid. Okay, tell me where there is an Egyptian pyramid in America. Tell me where there is a revealed, it's called an Egyptian pyramid. That's what it's called a pyramid. The pyramids Where do they exist? They just in Egypt, okay? But so it all makes sense to you. It should be all making sense to you that the Egyptian pyramid with the eye on top of that was the Horus eye, in which they believe Yeshayahu 14 that Hillel, Lucifer was the one that was like El, was like Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? So they believe he has. They believe, this is what they believe, the Freemasons. They believe in the Grand Architect who has powers like Yahuwah, which is, we know that's totally false and that's totally erroneous. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to use the technology, recording people, and all these things to achieve, to make it look like that. Okay? So this is what you have. So Henry Wallace, all this you can look up. Henry Wallace was a 32nd degree Mason who submitted a proposal to the president for a mint coin depicting the seals. And also the seal of the eagle was another seal of a mighty one, a Babylonian mighty one, which think about this. A Babylonian mighty one, which the time of his celebration was the same time as the presidential elections. The same time the presidential elections happen each year is the same time that in Babylonian times they celebrated that symbol of that is on now the American seal with the eagle holding things. That was a Babylonian seal. Of fortune and power and all these things, just like the word Gad, okay? So Henry Wallace submits this seal depicting this. Now, President FDR, who was also a Mason, liked it, but he liked the seal that was going to be on the mint, but he wanted to put it on the dollar. So Roosevelt, he also loved the all-seeing eye, which was in the representation of the great architect of the universe, which was Lucifer, okay? So he signs off and they put the seal on the dollar. Then he signs the executive law taking America off the gold standard because that was one of the things put forth by the private bankers in which he wanted to do. So the Rothschild, so because we all know that presidents are nothing but puppets. So the private bankers, the Rothschilds, you know, basically got him to sign this executive order taking America off the gold standard, making the Great Depression even worse, putting money into private hands. So that's what they want to do. Because if they can take money, and every president, every person who tried to take money and tried to take it out of private hands, they either got eliminated or it hadn't succeeded. And this is why. Because if you have America, if the Congress or the citizens can vote upon money and the money is actually owned by American people, and it's actually owned by the Congress or the president, then they can control. They can delegate. They can try to delegate different outcomes, and it will be better. See, but the agenda of the private hands. Once it's out of private hands, you got to understand that money in America and around the world from the Federal Reserve is private hands. That means it's random people who have no dealings with the government. So they can control, they basically can control the hub and the outcome of different organizations and things. So that was the whole agenda from the Rothschilds. Okay? So to rewind it all the way back, I know that was a lot that was thrown this, but to rewind it all the way back, this is what you have. This summer, London Olympics 2012, July 2012, you have one of the biggest media coverages of an event that there ever has almost ever been, okay? And the mascots until this are one-eyed aliens, the aliens are one-eyed, you know, Nephilim little characters in which they depict the Eye of Horus, which was the agenda. That when you see that symbology, it's like looking into the Matrix. When you see that symbology, that is the symbology of the plan, the agenda, to bring evil upon the world, to bring the so-called reign of the anti-Messiah, the anti-Mashiach, or people say the Antichrist. That is the symbol of, and this is the main focus of this event. And people don't fail to recognize it and see, because even with that back of the dollar bill, they had Amutu Corpus. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that, but it meant the Latin Roman numerals under both those depictions of pictures, which was submitted by Henry Wallace, which was eventually signed off and put on by FDR, both Freemasons. And known Freemasons. This is not no conspiracy. Oh, they might be Freemasons. No. They were known Freemasons. Known Freemasons. And okay. So these symbolic things under the dollar bill that says Amatu Corpus, the announcing of the birth, numerus os sanctum, the new world order. So 1776. The signing of the Declaration of Independence, they had in the future what the Rothschild banking people had in the future, Revelation 13:18, and to control everybody by money. This was the vision. I grew up believing, hey, that, you know, America came over here and they wanted to, you know, create a land where, you know, everybody can get along and everybody can eventually, you know, do these things. And, you know, it was a land of independence and freedom, you know, breaking off from, you know, England and different things like that. And a place to, you know, but this land, America, is the land of bondage. This is Egypt. This is the modern Egypt. This is the modern Mizraim. And that's the plan that they had in order. So that's what we need to tell our kids. This is what we need to teach our kids, is the truth that, hey, this land right here is the land of bondage. This land right here is not our home. You know what I'm saying? This land right here, we were taken, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 68, we were taken from ships. In our land, we were bought and sold as female slaves in Charleston, in Louisiana, in Florida, in Georgia, in North Carolina. We were bought as slaves. Because of the things and the rebellion that we've done against Yahuwah, you know, our Elohim. You know what I'm saying? So This is so powerful, man, that you have this summer going on, and this is their agenda. So why we've been talking about this so much, because right under that pyramid of the one eye, of the horse eye, which is on these mascots, the same symbology that's on these mascots this summer, in which we'll be publicized all around the world, right under that was called the Latin phrase. What they had is announcing of the New World Order. So that's why I'm saying we have to continue to watch, even this summer, that you might have a possibly announcing of the New World Order and whatever event, whatever thing that they might try to do, you know, to announce the New World Order to the world. We heard the stories about 2012, and it's not just hype. You have these things that they're trying to put in motion to, because what you have to realize is that the scriptures and revelations have to take place. we cannot go on and everything just stay the same. I mean, that's what you want to believe, and that's what you hope to believe, and that's why a lot of pastors will tell you that, hey, everything's gonna be alright, it's gonna keep going like it is, and no, but that end has to come, and so we just realizing that, hey, the foundation of America was built upon Yeshayahu 14, in which they believe their so-called grand architect of the universe is like El, is like Yahuwah. That's what they believe. That's what the foundation, their foundation of America was 1776 was built upon the idea of Revelation 13:18, in which no man can buy or sell except we have the mark of the beast. And it's a number of a man, 666, the name in which people erroneously call the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Jesus, which in ancient Greek is Chi Psi Sigma, which is 666. You can look that up. So we just got to continue to tell people about the true Messiah in the true way, because Yahuwah is beginning to make a split. You know, he said, thinking not that I came to bring peace on earth. No, he came to bring the sword. Okay? So now we just talked about the false foundation. Hey, you still listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and we're still on the way. Hey, we still got a little more to cover because we're going to talk about the good foundation. And it goes into the archives. If you're listening on the phone or if you're on the internet, it goes into the archives, so you won't miss the other part. You just got to catch it when it's over. You can catch it on the archives. But we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about the true foundation. Hey, there is no other foundation. No other foundation can be laid but that of Yahushua. So nobody can put on no other foundation. So let's go to Galatians. Galatians 1:8. Okay, look, he says, look, however, Galatians 1:8, however, even if we or a messenger, however, if we, even if we or a messenger out of heaven bring a good news to you besides which we have announced to you, before it says, as we have even said before, and now I say again, if anyone brings a good news to you besides what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or Elohim? Or do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be a servant of the Messiah. So, you know, that's what Shaul was saying. And it's very tricky because the enemy uses this verse nowadays and say, hey, if you're saying something else, you know, about, you know, JC and what you have received, then, you know, you should be accursed. But what you got to realize is, number one, let's rewind 2,000 years ago. Let's rewind 2,000 years, because we always think of modern-day time. But we don't go into context and say, who is Shaul Paul talking to? Okay, he's talking to the Galatians, who the Galatians had been persuaded to believe otherwise. Like, he had gave them the, you know, the foolish Galatians. You know, the Besor had been preached to them, and they were easily swayed by other Besors that were being brought, you know. And so they had received about Yahushua. So that's like us receiving the Messiah, knowing about the Hebrew Messiah, knowing his name, Yahushua. And somebody comes bringing another Besor and another name saying, hey, no, his name is, J.C., or his name is Jesus, or another Besor which is foreign. You know, it says even a messenger. If even if a messenger came, an angel came and said, hey, it's another Besor, you know, no. We are not just supposed to let that person be a curse. We're not just supposed to accept that, you know. So we take this in context. We know that, hey, Yahushua is the foundation. Okay? So we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. It says, I wish that you would bear me for a little farther, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with the jealous according to Elohim. For I have given you to marriage to one husband to present you innocent to the maiden, to Messiah. But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Hawana by his trickery, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in the Messiah. For it says, for indeed, if he who is coming proclaims another Yahushua, whom we have not proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different good news which you have not accepted, you put up with it well enough. Okay? So, we're going to talk about, pause right now, we're going to talk about different besores. If people are coming preaching different besores, now what we got to do is we got to understand what was the besore being preached back then, the good news. What was the good news being preached back then? Because nowadays in Christianity, the good news which is being preached is another besore, is a different besore than the earlier ancient besore with good news was taught. Because the earlier good news, the earlier good news was that Yahushua, the Messiah, came to fulfill the prophecy, dwelt with man, and was the Lamb, and was the sacrifice. His blood atoned the sacrifices, the sins of many. And he made it so that anybody who believed upon him would inherit eternal life. Now, but it gets deeper because it's more than just believing. Because when you're looking at what believing is, all it's faith and it's action. So the besore back then was, hey, you have not only have to believe in him, but you have to keep his commandments. Because we have to, when you believe in him, you believe everything he said. And he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's what he said. And so that was the besore, is having the testimony that hey, Yahushua came. His name was Yahushua, and he came, and he died for the sins of the sins of the world, and he rose on the third day, and he ascended to the Father, making it so we have that he is the atonement, and he is the Lamb, that he came, he took his own blood, he went into the mercy seat in heaven, sprinkling the blood for all our sins. And so now all we have to do is love him and keep the commandments. And that's it, the testimony of Yahushua and keeping the commandments. That's what the Revelation says. Here is patience for the saints. Those who have the testimony of Yahushua and keep the commandments of Yahushua. That's it. That's all the two things you have to do, is have that testimony that of bearing the witness of Yahushua and keeping his commandments. And so that was the earlier besore. That's what Shaul was saying, that somebody had tricked them into the simplicity of the Messiah. That is the simplicity that was in the Messiah. But nowadays, people are receiving a different Messiah, a different besore being taught. Nowadays in Christianity, what we grow up in is the besore now, the good news, or the so-called good news, is that, hey, all you have to do is believe in, they don't even say Yahushua, they say, the word, the J word, and they say that all you have to do is believe. See, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with just believing. Why is there a problem with just believing and no action being done? I'm going to show you why. Go to James. you go to James, if you go to James, second chapter, verse 17, it says, so also belief, if it does not have works, it is itself dead. But if someone might say, you have belief, and I have works, show me your belief without works, and I show you my belief by my works. See that? Belief by my works. You believe that Elohim is one, and you, it says you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. And do you wish to know, O foolish man, that belief without works is dead? Then he goes on to talk about Abraham. So this is the other sword that's being preached. Not that, because a lot of people say, oh, well, they get into the thing, well, you know, if you believe that you have works, that you're saved by your works. No, we're saved. It's like Ephesians say that, number one, the first thing is grace that was put forth, because grace is something that is outside of yourself that you cannot do. Because if we can save ourselves, there will be no need for the Messiah to come. So, but grace came first. Grace is Yahushua. He came, he didn't have to. He stepped down from the throne when he didn't have to, and he said, hey, I'm gonna redeem which that I created. And that was grace, because that was the act that if Yahuwah the Father would have destroyed us, he stepped into the gap and said, hey, no, don't punish them, punish me. And he bore the burdens of us that was upon him. And so that was grace, you know. But now after he did the grace part, now the ball is back in our court to say, hey, now I need to have faith by my works. You know what I'm saying? I need to have faith by my works. So if I believe, then I will do. You know what I'm saying? If I believe, then I will keep. If I believe in the Messiah, I believe in everything he said, then I will keep his commandments, because I believe in him. Okay? But another basura that's being taught now is, hey, you can have faith, and that's it. You believe, you say a couple words, and go about your business. You can do what you want to do. And you're straight. You have a place in heaven and all these things. That's the different basura, even down to the very name of the Messiah, which you have the true Messiah, Yahushua, being taught, and then you have the anti-Messiah's name being taught, which we just talked about, is 666. And that's you have the two basuras being taught right now. And so we're going to have more of that when Enoch, the two witnesses of Enoch and Eliyahu, when they get here, and they preach the same thing we're saying and say, hey, you have two choices. You either take Yahushua or you take the anti-Messiah, the mark of the beast. And that's what you have here. You have two basuras, and that's two different messages, because Yahushua never taught that, hey, all you had to do was believe in him and that would be it. But a lot of people contextually think that he was talking about faith with no obedience. Yahushua always taught faith and obedience. He taught faith and obedience. You cannot have faith and have no obedience, or it's not faith at all. He taught faith and obedience, and that's the foundation that he laid, in which, as Pentecost comes up, man, we have to renew, is that, hey, he taught faith and obedience. That's what Yahushua taught. That's the true basura. And if somebody comes teaching another basura, they say, hey, all you have to do is believe. You don't have to keep the commandments. If they start talking, you know, because what did Yahushua say? He said, John, what did he say? He said, if someone says they know him, they know Elohim, and keep it, and doesn't keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if people come preaching another basura, talking about another Messiah, and they say you don't have to keep the commandments, or you don't have to love your neighbor, or you don't have to do the things that Yahushua taught us about obedience, You don't have to keep your feast. You don't have to do all these other things. You don't have to do nothing. Then that's another basura. And let that person, like Shaul said, let that person be accursed because they're coming bearing another basura. So that's what that is. And you have, we're gonna turn to Yehuvanan of John 14. John 14, verse 6, he says, Yahushua said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father too. For now you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Master, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Yahushua said, Have I not been with you so long? You have not known me, Philip. Since he who has seen me has seen my Father, and how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who stays in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I shall do, it says that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he shall do because I go to the Father. Okay, so that's part of Pentecost coming up too, is that he said that, hey, that's our expectancy. And we talked about that before, a couple weeks ago. We said, you know, that, I mean, you had a part where Yahushua came to the disciples after he had been resurrected. They still didn't understand the scriptures, and they seen him, and he said, come in the womb, he said, peace be with you. And he breathed on them, and he said, receive the set-apart spirit. And they received the spirit. And because before that, they were not, that's what I'm saying, is levels of the spirit being poured out. And that's what we're waiting for, because he told them, we're going to read in Acts in a minute, that he told them to wait for the promise. And that's the promise. You have the former rain and you have the latter rain, as we talked about. And the latter rain, which was greater than the former rain, is the pouring out of the ruach, of the spirit, into a measure in which, you know, until which they were walking, until which the apostles were walking, until which the anointing was so much that it was on their shadow, that they seen somebody blind and said, hey, receive your sight. It's like the works that Yahushua was doing, we will be able to do if we cleanse ourselves and continue to, you know, seek him. And he set us apart until he will fill us with that spirit, until where, you know, we will be able to lay hands on the blind, you know, the sick, the deaf, the people that, you know, that really needs healing, and he will use us to touch those same works that we will be able to do, and even greater works. So that's what he said right here. He says, whatever you ask, if you ask whatever in my name, I shall do. If you love me, you shall guard my commands. And I shall ask the Father, and he shall give you another helper to stay with you forever. And that's the spirit. That's the promise. Is the nature. Because what you gotta think about in Christianity, they make it like, you know, they say the Holy Ghost or the, you know, we don't like to use the word ghost because ghost is a dead entity. You know. So why would you have a dead entity inside you? You know, that's wrong phrasing, but you know, you would have, you know, the set apart spirit, which is life, not dead. So, but he said he would send us the helper, which would lead us into all truth. And so we've grown up in Christianity, and they make it seem like the helper or the set-apart spirit is another being. When actually, it's not. The Father, remember, Yahushua said, when he was talking to the lady on the well, he said, those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and truth. He said the Father is spirit, or the Father is ruach. Okay, so what you have here is when Yahushua went unto the Father and they were waiting for the promise, what they received on the day of Pentecost, they received the Spirit of Yahuwah. They received part of his nature. If the Father is Ruach, if the Father is Spirit, and he's not a man, when they received on Pentecost, they received part of him. It's like part of a cloud being something, and they take part of that cloud. You receive part of that cloud, not nothing outside the cloud. And it's, that's why Yahushua said the Spirit doesn't speak of himself. He speaks of what he is because he's part of the Father. You know what I'm saying? Just a piece of him. Just like how Hawana or Eve came forth out of Adam. She wasn't her own being outside of Adam, but she was part of Adam, which came forth out of Adam. You know what I'm saying? So that's what the Ruach is. It's part of Yahuwah. It's not another being. It's part of him. It's part of his nature to where you be able to, and that's how the Spirit be able to conform us into the image of the Son. Because remember, in the beginning, we were made in the likeness. Adam was made in the likeness of Yahuwah. Look, that's what he said. Look, you go back to Bereshit. As he says, Genesis 1:26, and Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the creatures, and over all the creepy things on the ground." See, and that's what goes back to what we're talking about: is Yahuwah made Adam. Into the likeness of him. Okay? Not to be actually like him, but in the likeness of him. You know what I'm saying? Because why did he say the likeness of him? Because Yahuwah rules over the universe. He rules over the stars, over everything. And so he gave man dominion over the earth just like him, in the likeness of him, in which he would have the means to rule over the earth, in which he gave him. So that's how we were in the likeness of him, okay? But we were not unlike Yeshayahu 14. We were not, you know, took up in our heart to be like him, you know. And that's how Hawana and Adam failed, because that was the first trick of the enemy, is to get them in their heart to believe just like Yeshayahu 14:12. Into which they believe that they could be like him, like on the same level as him, you know, which is impossible. And so that's what we receive. We receive the likeness. We receive the set apart Spirit of Yahuwah, which helps us to get into that state that we were originally created to be. And so the Ruach conforms us into the image of the Son, into the image in which he created us. And so that's what the promise is that we will be walking like Yahushua will walk. Because we will be walking like when Yahushua was walking on earth, where he was healing people and he was restoring order back into the universe. And that's what, you know, is the expectation of the future day of Pentecost, is that he will pour out his Spirit until we will be walking like Yahushua was walking. We will be walking like the apostles were walking, and we will have that anointing of the Ruach that was on them. That is the promise in which we are waiting for. So we're gonna read a couple more verses, and then we're gonna be out of here. But you're still listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm your host, Sod, and we're still on the way. So right here we have Acts 1. Acts 1 and 8. This is what he says. "But you shall receive power when the set-apart Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all you Yehuda, and Shamaran, and the ends of the earth." And having said this, while they were looking on, he was taken up, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So he said, that's what he said. And that's the same thing the disciples did when he think about it. They were walking with him all that time. They were walking with him all the time. And when he came back and when they understood, he told them and they received the set apart spirit. And this is when that they start, this is when subsequently, because he was, I think it was 40 days that he was actually, I think it was 40 days that from after the resurrection to when they seen him that he was on earth before he was taken up. He was, and so, and this is the prophecy right here. And what happened in Acts 2 when the Ruach HaKodesh set apart spirit was poured out? It said the day of the festival Shabbat, I'm reading Acts 2. It says, had came, it says they were in one mind in one place. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven. So why did this sound come from heaven? Because it was the set apart spirit of Yahuwah, which is the essence of Yahuwah. It's like him almost giving part of himself, which came from heaven as a rushing wind, a mighty wind, and filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, settling on each one of them. And they were filled with the set apart spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave to them to speak. And we were talking about how they were different people from different languages, but everybody understood, you know, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So if somebody speak another language, they had interpretation of the language in their own language. So it's like if somebody was speaking, if I'm understanding this right, if somebody's speaking Chinese and I can understand them, I can understand only by the power of the Ruach, you can understand them in interpretation of it in your own language. So if you speak English and somebody's speaking Chinese to you, you can understand them in English even though they were speaking in Chinese. And that's only through the power of the Ruach that you can understand them in your own language. If somebody's speaking another language, you could interpret it. Somebody's speaking Hebrew, and I never learned or studied Hebrew, and they're speaking in Hebrew, and my language is English, but yet as they're speaking to me, I understand what they're saying, even though I have not studied that language. The only way you can do that is through the Ruach HaKodesh. And so that's what was happening. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying, and look one another, look, are not all these speak Galilees? How do we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? Okay? So that's what was going on. And that's powerful. How could that happen? How could I understand a language that I never spoke, I never learned, but I can hear it in my own language? And that's power of the Ruach. And so this was the prophecy of this was the former rain. And it says, and it shall be in verse 17, it says, and it shall be in the last day, says Elohim, that I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And also my male servants and my female servants, I shall pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I shall sow wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth, blood, fire, and vapor, and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of Yahuwah. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of Yahuwah shall be saved. Men of Yisrael, hear these words. Yahushua of Nazareth, a man from Elohim, having been appointed to you by mighty works and wonders and signs which Elohim did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. This one, giving up by the set purpose and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have impaled and put to death through the hands of lawless men. Him Elohim raised up, have loosened the pains of death, because it is impossible that he could be held in his grip. Okay? So, And so you remember subsequently after this, even in Acts 3, that Kepha and Yehochanan began to wrought mighty works. There was a lame man who was healed, that was clinging to Kepha and Yehochanan, in which they, you know, rose up by the power of Yahushua. And they began to walk in this power. But why? Because Yahushua said you will receive power. Because that's what the Ruach is from Yahuwah, is power. So that's what we're expecting. We're expecting the latter rain, you know, because we're in that point where, you know, because we're still learning, we're still coming to the truth. And that's how the disciples were when they first met Yahushua. When they first met Yahushua, it wasn't until, think about it, when they first met Yahushua, it wasn't until, you know, first he got tried in the wilderness, then he went to get disciples. And remember, his ministry was only about three and a half years. So you're talking about those 3.5 years, and you're talking about before they were even understanding what was going on. So as we continue to walk, Yahuwah is really going to pour out his spirit. You know, we're being led by the spirit, and we have a portion of the spirit, but when we really receive the Ruach HaKodesh, until like they have received it in Acts, we will have power. That's what Yahushua said. He said you will have power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you. And we have a portion of that power, but we continue to look until the point where he pours out that latter rain, into which where we are walking just like Yahushua was walking. And so you were listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai. Man, I hope you had a blessed Shabbat, man. It's been awesome to kick it with you, man. We got the Pentecost coming up this evening. Hope you're chilling with your family. Hope it's a wonderful day for you. And I just hope you seek Yahuwah, man, and see what the Ruach HaKodesh says to the assembly. And may Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Hey, man, we out of here. Shabbat Shalom.